Hello and welcome everyone. Welcome to Channels the Next Flow podcast. My name is Chris and today I'm speaking to you from Germany.
Hello guys, I'm Marcel and I'm speaking to you from Brazil.
Phil is away at the moment, so it's just Marcel and I. But as always, the Next Flow community is humming with activity and we are here to talk about some of the many things that have come across our notifications to keep you all up to date. So let's get on with channeling the Next Flow community buzz. Marcel, why don't you take us away with your first topic, which is the Flux Executor.
Yeah, sure. So as you guys know, one of the amazing things about Nextflow is that you can write your pipeline in your local machine, and then you can execute it in many different places. And Nextflow has native support to many of these technologies like cloud providers and HPC cluster job schedulers, such as Slurm, Turkey, PBS, and then when it comes to cloud providers, AWS, Azure, the Google Cloud Platform, and so on. So one of the nice things that we have added to Nextflow recently was the Flux framework. Why I'm calling it a framework? It started as an HPC job scheduler, but it evolved to a framework with a very different tools. So right now you can use Flux for many different things, and it's slightly different from other job schedulers, as you don't have to write a file with the definition of your job. You just use the command line, among other things, like the large amount of tools that they have that this framework consists of. So right now we have support for Flux, so you can just set your executor for your process on your whole pipeline to be Flux, and it's going to be run on Flux according to the configuration that you have to do, and you can check in the official documentation. The nice thing that I would like to highlight here, though, is that just like many other executors, the Flux executor was added to Nextflow as a community contribution. So someone that wanted to use Flux and had some knowledge about it decided to use Nextflow with that. And when a person realized that you couldn't do that natively, they wrote the code for that. So they created a pull request, they discussed with Nextflow developers, and by the end of it, we had a pull request, very well written, with a lot of documentation, resources, and everything else to make it easy for anyone to run Nextflow pipelines, or even already done, easily run them on Flux. So the person who did this was Victoria... No, Vanessa Sock, right? Vanessa Sock. So she was the main person behind this contribution. It's very nice. I'm very happy to see more of these contributions, just like we had from other Nextflow plugins and code in the core code of Nextflow. So if you have any idea, or if you have some other executor, some container technology, some package management that you like to use, feel free to open a PR on the issue in the Nextflow GitHub repository so that we can work on that, or we can work on that together, and so on. So if you go to the website of Flux, which is flux-framework.org or org, you're gonna see so many different tools that can make it easy for you. And as I said, it started on the HPC job scheduler, but it evolved now to even the cloud. So there are many interesting things in this project and so many amazing things that we're gonna see in the near future. So feel free to check the pull request or the documentation of Nextflow so you can learn more about Flux. So that's what I have today about Flux, Chris.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I think you're absolutely right. I think one of the coolest things about Nextflow is that it is open. It is available for community contributions. And sometimes there are things that the developers don't have time for, don't know about. So when a community contribution comes in, it's really, really amazing. It's fantastic. It's one of the best things about Nextflow, I think. Yeah, exactly. So what I wanted to talk about today was another sort of community contribution in a slightly different way. So what some of you might be aware of is that NF Core has a series of bite-sized seminars, which are short videos that might be about a pipeline or a tool or kind of a philosophy about how a pipeline can be written using the NF Core best practice. So Fran, who is the one who runs the bite-sized seminar series, has been diligently working behind the scenes to actually make sure that all of these videos have transcripts. So when you watch the video on YouTube or online in a different platform, the transcripts are the little sort of subtexts that come up along the bottom. It's the captions that you can read along with the video at the same time. And I think it's actually a really important thing, and it's something that most of us don't think about a lot. But by having those captions there and available, it actually increases accessibility for users who are deaf or hard of hearing. It allows for improved audience comprehension, being able to read along at the same time. someone's speaking, so you might be able to understand an accent a lot better, particularly if you're someone like me who does have a rather strange accent sometimes or say things in a strange way. And it also makes it more accessible as a flexible viewing or in flexible viewing environments where you might not be able to hear properly, or if you're in a really loud and noisy environment, it does make it easier to comprehend what's going on. And I think it's you know, it's an initiative that I think NF Core should be really, really proud of, because it does make a massive difference to a lot of people. And I think a massive thank you should go out to Fran, who has been, like I said, diligently going, you know, working on this for a long time behind the scenes to process these transcripts, to make them available for everyone. And also thank you to everyone who's been reviewing those transcripts to make sure they're accurate, because that's a massive part of the program as well, is to actually go back through these one by one to make sure that the translations that have been done are accurate. And I think what we find is that occasionally the occasional tool or word is mistranscribed. So it is important that the reviewers do go through this as well. So thank you to everyone involved in that. I think it's really, really fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's a huge amount of work. I mean, maybe for you guys, when you go to the YouTube of the Bite Size Talks and YouTube channel of the Bite Size Talks, and you see the talks and you see the subtitles, like, oh, that's nice. It's a huge amount of work. And one of the things that I think is quite interesting is that actually we not only have the subtitle, but as Chris pointed out, we have the transcripts. And if you go to the NF Core website and you look at each bite size, you're going to have the transcript as text below. And I think this is amazing for two reasons. So many times I watch a talk, it's amazing. Like the bite size talk by Robert Petit, I loved it. So sometimes like, oh, he mentioned something, but what was the link or what was the name of the package or the software? So instead of going to the YouTube video and keep like jumping between minutes and trying to find the moment he mentioned it, you can just go to the NF Core website, go to the transcripts and use like Control F or Command F, and you can find what you want. And also, if you're not very good with English, it's much easier to just get the transcript, the text that is there, and put it like in Google Translate or something like that and translate it to your local language, to the language you're more comfortable with. So I think that having the transcripts, it's an amazing benefit for people who want to enjoy this bite-sized talks. And again, it's a huge amount of work. So kudos to Francisca, mostly because, you know, when we are talking, just like I did a few moments ago, it's like, you say a few words, you go back, and in the end, there's a better way to look at what you mentioned. And one of the things that Francisca does and the reviewers do when they come to the transcripts is like sometimes they edit what was said so that it's easier to understand without the tone and without listening to the person, just with the text. So they improve the way it was written, so it's much easier for people to read. So I think this both the Bite Size Talk initiative, the subtitles and the transcripts, they are great initiative. And I mean, I just have to thank friends for being behind it, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said earlier, I think all the transcripts have been made and they are just out getting reviewed at the moment. So if you don't see a transcript on your favorite video just yet, it won't be far away. And if you are interested in helping with that initiative, I'm sure there are quite a few pull requests there that do need to be reviewed. So don't be afraid to get involved in and help out with those. Yeah, fantastic. So finally today, I think, Marcel, you're going to talk about the improved error messaging, which is something that many people are very passionate about.
Yeah, so I think that one of the great things of these positions that we have, Chris, of being like developer advocates, is being like this bridge between the community, the next world developers, even among developers. We talk a lot about, like, with a lot of people about many different topics related to Nextflow. And it was pretty clear in the community on the Nextflow side, like everyone knew and everyone knows that we have a lot of room for improvement when it comes to error messages. And I'm really glad to say that recently we have not only working on that, but having some pull requests merged and some improvements when it comes to error messages, both being more precise about the issue and also new error messages that before they were just like default and very difficult to interpret. There were at least like three recent commits and pull requests on Nextflow that were trying to make things more clear. For example, for some operators like Watchpath, and among other operators that handle both files and folders. So the error message was just like no such file when there was none to be watched. and now you have a search file or folder, for example. Just some small things like that, but also some people, this is one thing I keep saying, and maybe some people don't agree with, but I think that the more you try to think the groovy way, the more you try to write groovy code inside Nexlo, the more prone you are to run into issues. And people who are still not used to the way of Nexlo, they keep trying to do things without channels or passing channels to channels, which is a mess. And now when you try to pass a channel to a channel, in some situations, you're going to have a message saying, you know, you're trying to pass a channel to a channel, you shouldn't do that. So I think some work has been done, not only now, for a while, on improving that. And I just want to highlight here that we hear you guys, the complaints about the error message needing to be clear. So we hear you guys, we're working on that, and there's been some progress. And I'm happy to say we have more work to be done. We are working on more. On making it better and easier for you guys. So I just wanted to highlight this thing about the error messages and debugging code. It's getting much better.
I think it's one of the things we would see through the Slack channels the most is you know, comments and error messages that are quite hard to debug. So I think you're exactly right in saying that this is a massive improvement and it's a really exciting improvement. And I hope that you know, the community will find this useful and will be able to make sense of those error messages a little easier because I think it's, you know, we all make mistakes and we all need to do a little bit of debugging from time to time, so anything that can help that process is a massive win for everyone. So yeah, definitely. I really think it's fantastic. Right, okay, so to finish off this episode, as always, we're just going to go through the upcoming events that are going to be happening in the community at the upcoming weeks and months. First of all, I'd like to mention the Bite Size, which is on the January 24th, when Jasmine is going to introduce NFCore FunScan, which is a bioinformatics best practice analysis pipeline for the screening of functional components of nucleotide sequences. So that's stuff such as assembled context, for example. As well as that, we have the hackathon and the community training coming up very soon. So the training is happening on the 13th to the 16th of March. And as a new initiative, we will be sharing the training in some different languages, which is something we're really excited about. And again, we're hoping that will increase the accessibility of Nexflow and NFCore to some people that might struggle with English or just prefer to learn about Nexflow in a different language for the first time, which is, like I said again, something we're really, really excited about. And I think Marcel and I will both be running some of the trainings for that. So please watch out and please come along and attend. As well as that, we have the hackathon, which is happening on the 27th to the 29th of March. For the hackathon, we'll be supporting local hubs, where local community members are hosting other community members to come along and hack. So everything will be online, but the hubs will act as a way for communities to gather, and it might be at an institute or a local region or something like that. But sometimes it's just nice to hack with other people and you can support each other. It's a really, really nice way of doing it. Not to take away from anything that's happening online, but it's just another way that we can help the community become more involved with each other, which again, we're really, really excited about. So both of those are coming up. Please watch out for the registrations, which will be out and available soon. But I think that's all we had to say today. So thank you very much for coming along. It was great to see you all again, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Yeah, see you guys next week. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.